Well, it's because of this, that's why I can't succeed. It's because of that person, because of my surroundings. Look at the family I got, look at the spouse I got, look at this I got, look at the job that I got. He could have developed what we call a loser's limp. You know what a loser's limp is? You're going out for a football pass and you bumble the pass and you, sore my leg. That's why I miss him, because I'm so sore my leg's sore. Your leg's not sore, you just bumbled it. I used to do that all the time in high school.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, Pastor Wayne will continue the story of Joseph. You'll see how God was with Joseph on the desert road and in the Egyptian prison. If you're traveling a dry, dusty road, or maybe you're trapped in your own prison, today's message will be an encouragement to you. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Confidence in the Turning Points.
Well, Joseph made a wonderful, critical choice at that turning point because he could have gotten bitter. But it ends him up in Egypt, a man of righteousness, and it gives him favor with Potiphar's house. But after he makes a great decision to be righteous in the eyes of the Lord, his heart gets tested again. And oh, by this time, it's a big test. This time it is a big test. Do you remember what his brothers said about Joseph to their dad? That he faced a wild animal? That was a lie. But this time he is going to face a wild animal in Potiphar's house. Who? Potiphar's wife. Oh, she saw this Hebrew boy. Oh, he's such a hunk, she said to herself. She put on her most beautiful, most luscious, long false eyelashes. She bought on sale. And she said, Joseph. And it just grabbed him as he went by. Joseph, come. And Joseph turned around and saw her intentions and said, well, hello, Mrs. Potiphar. Figured that he needed to obey God, he continued the song, Jesus loves you more than you will know. Well, she kept going after him. So he decided to continue singing, but get a little more religious, and he sang, God bless you, please, Mrs. Rob. Oh, no, Potiphar. Heaven holds a place for those who pray. Hey, hey, hey. Well, singing songs to her troubled heart didn't soothe her craving for seduction and lust. So one day she just grabbed a hold of him. And he said, wait a minute, your husband has put everything in this household under my care, and I cannot break his trust, nor will I sin against God. Well, that rejection just infuriated her. So she accused him, got him in trouble with her husband when he came home, and got him thrown in prison. Have you ever been trying to do the best you can and you get slapped for it? Ever been trying to do what's right or righteous and you're misunderstood? That took Joseph to his second turning point. And would you write in your notes? Now, from slave to prisoner. From slave to prisoner. The first turning point was bad enough, from son to slave. And now turning point two, when you're trying to do right and you're misunderstood, every one of us will go through that, from slave to prisoner. But let's read what takes place. Would you read with me that scripture, Genesis 32, 21? Go. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. You notice anything familiar about this? You notice that when he went into Potiphar's house, he rose to the top and everything was put under his charge. Now he's thrown in prison. He could have gotten angry and bitter, but he had learned that lesson. He made that critical decision in turning point one. But here's the critical decision he made in turning point two. He decided to bloom wherever God planted him. And because of that, God gave him favor with the warden. So would you write in your notes that gem, blooming where he plants you for this season brings you favor. You see, wherever he landed, he excelled. He could have gotten into prison and started to grumble. He could have blamed his surroundings. That's why I'm not successful. Look at this place. He could have developed what we call a loser's limp. You know what a loser's limp is? You're going out for a football pass and you bumble the pass and you, sore my leg. That's why I miss him, because I sore my leg sore. Your leg's not sore, you just bumbled it. I used to do that all the time in high school. Yeah, sometimes we develop a loser's limp. Well, it's because of this, that's why I can't succeed. It's because of that person, because of my surroundings. Look at the family I got, look at the spouse I got, look at this I got, look at that job that I got. But Joseph said, no, wherever God is gonna place me, wherever I land, I am going to excel. He excelled wherever God had put him for that season. And he didn't say, well, when I get out of prison and then I'll lead. When I get out of prison and then I'll do something good. Nah. He said, right now, here I am in prison. Let's shine up these metal bars over here. Let's sweep the floor. Let's do something good for the prisoners. Ah, come on, Joseph. This is a prison. No, let's sweep this place up. Come on, you guys. Come on. Don't sleep on the floor. Here's a Gozan mat. Sleep on that thing. Let's sweep this place up. And when the warden saw that this guy was willing to bloom wherever he was planted, just gave him favor. He gave favor to Joseph and said, you know, Joseph, this is amazing. You know what? I'm going to put the whole prison under your charge. It's like wherever he lands, he shines the place up. That's a critical decision we must make. Because often we just stay resentful until things get better. Because you see, often I got to ask myself this question. Wayne, are you only satisfied when you finally get your way? Don't be laughing at that now. But we all have to ask ourselves that question, isn't that right? Am I only satisfied? Will I only blossom and smile when things are going my way? What if things aren't? What if God chooses to put you in a prison, quote unquote, for a season? Will you just sit there and grumble about it till you get out? Well, maybe not as bad as prison. What about this? What if for a season God asks you to live in a smaller house than you had dreamed of? What about if God asks you to live in a humbler apartment than you ever dreamed of? For a season, you are to take lesser wages than you had a dream of. What if God asks you to be a part of an unnoticed, unapplauded ministry in New Hope, lesser than you'd ever dreamed of? A lesser job than you'd ever dreamed of? For a season, you are to drive a humbler car than you've ever dreamed of. Thing goes down the street sideways. Well, when I have to live in that littler house than I've ever dreamed of, what do? Do I shine in that little house? That humbler car, do I take care of that humble car? Or am I dissatisfied until I get a bigger one? Am I resentful until I get what I think I deserve? Let me give you a hint. Don't wait till you get what you deserve, because if you wait, what you deserve is not much. See, if we really got what we deserve, it wouldn't be much. The psalmist says it this way in Psalm 16 and verse 6. It says this, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. You know what it's saying? The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. If you can just get the picture of pixie sticks, you put it on a table and just drop them. They just fall in all these different ways. And the psalmist is saying, no, the lines have fallen to me in fine places. I'm satisfied with that. See, he doesn't grumble about it. Well, if it were different. No, what he's saying is this. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Wherever God has planted me is fine. I am satisfied with the way God is treating me during this season of my life. If it's in prison, I'm going to serve him there. If it's over here, I'm going to serve him there. I'm going to blossom wherever God plants me for this season of my life. Same is true with this church. Sometimes people are waiting until they get some cushy position before they start to serve or lead somewhere. I'm waiting for a title. I'm waiting for a position. I'm waiting for someone to grant me this knighting of something until I get this mantle, this position, this office, till I get a star on my forehead, something. And then I'll start to lead. I want you to know that some of the best leaders, even here in New Hope, have no titles at all. They're Josephs. Because you see, wherever God put them, they shine the place up. God puts them in this unnoticed ministry, they shine it up. God places them over here, they shine it up. Every place they go, when they leave, it's better because they have been there. See, that's the kind of hearts God's going to be using in New Hope, even in the upcoming years. We'll need that in our homes, in the season of life, in your career right now. Because God's doing something in you. But sometimes, in order to build that kind of Joseph heart, you know what God has to do? He has to turn a palace into a prison. He has to remove the palace surroundings. He has to remove the accolades. He will remove the applause. He'll remove the recognition, the lights and the money. And says, will you still serve me now? Will you still serve me wherever I put you? No, it's when I get the pay, when I get title, and then I'll serve you. Then you're not ready. Because you see, if I can serve God in the desert as well as in the palace, if I can serve God in a prison just as well as in a palatial mansion, then I'll grow with favor, in favor with God and with man. You see, Joseph made another critical decision in the midst of the prison. This is what he said. I'm not going to wait and seek God's rewards. You know what I want? I want to seek God's pleasure wherever I am. Whether it's in the desert, whether it's scrubbing floors, whether it's in a lesser house, lesser job, lesser pay, in prison. My goal is not to wait for the rewards of God, but I'm going to go for the pleasure of God. I want God to be pleased wherever he places me. I want to look for the pleasure of God, not the rewards of God. And when that critical decision took place in his heart, it moved him to turning point number three, which is this: from prisoner to prime minister. From prisoner to prime minister. And would you write in that gem, seeking God's pleasure rather than his rewards brings you confidence. You see, Joseph made a huge decision. Here's the decision. Joseph said, I want to please God, period. If I stay in prison, I will serve God there. If it's in a palace, I will serve God there. If it's in the desert, I'll serve God there. If it's in a lowly position, I'll serve God there, because I no longer am looking for the dream. I'm looking for the dream giver. I'm not going after the gifts of God. I want to go after the giver of gifts. I'm not going to go after the rewards. I want to go after being pleasing to God. Not God's rewards, God's pleasure. Because you see, if I'm living for God's rewards, and if I don't get God's reward, then I'm discontent. I get discouraged. And I think, well, what's going on? How come, God? And I have a tendency for my heart will be prone to wander. And I won't keep entrusting my soul to a faithful creator. I won't be doing what's right. I'll start to do what's wrong. And I'll be on the verge of death because I'm suffering wrong. And God is not able to do what he wants to do inside of me if I'm looking just for God's rewards. But if I say, regardless of the rewards, I want to have God's pleasure right now in this season of my life. Am I pleasing to God with who I am? And when God sees that, then he can begin to give you all that he's created for you to have. You see, when God made him the prime minister of Egypt because his heart had made those critical decisions, God now had the confidence to give this prime minister the plans for Israel's future. And he knew that Joseph wouldn't compromise. He had great confidence. Because often if we're just going for rewards, like you've seen in climbing the corporate ladder or in politics, we have a tendency to compromise, throw out all God's taught us, compromise everything, and we start going wrong. But because he said, nope, I don't care. I'm going after God's pleasure. And if I have to serve God in prison the rest of my life, I'll serve him. God, just be pleased with what I'm doing. It's shown when the first chance he gets to come out of prison, because Pharaoh has these dreams and he heard that Joseph can interpret them. Now remember, the Egyptians worshiped false gods, wrong gods, and he served the God of the Hebrews, the Lord God Almighty. So it's a whole different thing. But watch the confidence that Joseph has. He's going to identify with God. He doesn't care. He's not going to compromise. Look at the confidence he has. First time with Pharaoh. Let's read it at the bottom. Ready? Go. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Amazing. He risked the fact that Pharaoh would say, I don't want your God. You bigot, get back in prison. Joseph would have said, that's fine, but I'm going to please God. I'm not going to compromise to get rewards. It gave him such a confidence. In fact, it says here in the next one, let's read the next verse. Ready? Go. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace. Isn't that great? Now, God then brings him to be prime minister. But before you put your notes away, I want you to go back to the first one, number one. I want you to see something with me that's so interesting. You'll notice when it was from a son to a slave, what does it say in Genesis 39:2, the last scripture? Let's read it. Ready? Go. The Lord was with Joseph. Stop there and underline those words. Here's the neat thing. When he went from a son to a slave, was God with him? Okay, let's go to number two. And let's read that scripture. Ready? Go. The Lord was with him. Underline those words. When he went from a slave to a prisoner, was God with him? Yep. Now, wait a minute. When it says here, he went from a prisoner to prime minister, I searched the Bible, and it doesn't say anything about God being with him. Oh, obviously he was. But why did God put in the first turning point, from son to slave, God was with him? From slave to prisoner, God was with him. I thought, God, why didn't you say it over here when it went from prisoner to prime minister? Because usually, see, it's the other way around. When things are going good, people say, oh, God's with him. Oh, God's hands on that one. Isn't it the other way around when someone is blessed? Shouldn't they say that when he becomes the most powerful man on earth? Second in command in ruling Egypt when Egypt ruled the world? How come it didn't say it then, but it said it in the other times when it went from slave, son to slave and slave to prisoner? I'll tell you why. I bet that just maybe we need reminders that during the hard times, God was not absent. See, when it's good times, you don't need that reminder. But isn't it true during hard times, we need the reminder? We need a reminder that during hard times, God is with us. You see, good times are wonderful. Good times are good times. But listen, sometimes bad times are the best times. Because that's when you're made, not unmade, when you're developed, sculptured and released from that solid rock of granite of old self. God's with you. I was looking at that and I thought, you know, in order to succeed as prime minister, he had to go through some pretty intensive training. And God says, even though I'm going to take you through intensive training, I'll be with you. I'll be with you, Joseph. Where did he receive that intensive training? On the road to Egypt, in the hot sands, in Potiphar's house, when he worked diligently yet was misunderstood, in prison. And he let those times train him rather than develop a loser's limp. He decided to blossom wherever he was planted, and it forged steel into the soul of Joseph. And after God had developed him through that arduous, torturous kind of disciplines, you know what? Now God could entrust him the plans to save a whole nation. You see, if Joseph, watch this, if Joseph would have gone bang to prime minister without any of that taking place, any of those turning points, watch, if he would have bang become prime minister, you know what you would have found? A very vengeful, resentful, mean and cruel prime minister. He would have been in that place. And then when he found his other brothers, you know what he would have done? He would have killed them all because of what you did to me back then. I'll teach you. And if that would have happened, he would have killed all of the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. All of his other brothers, the 10, would have been destroyed and killed. Did you know that his name in Egyptian, when they gave him a new name when he became prime minister, you know what translated meant? God speaks, you live. You know what it meant? It meant that Joseph was given the power to take lives at whim. He had that much authority. And if he hadn't had that heart developed at those turning points, he would have been a prime minister and he would have destroyed the very plans that God had for Israel and would have killed the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. They would have been all destroyed, at least the 10. But God had to take him through some intensive training so now he could entrust this prime minister with the plans of the future of Israel. You see, our hearts are prone to pride instead of being refined. But God says, I'll walk with you. Some of you right now are going through those times, and I want you to know that even though it seems like it's a suffering time, God is with you. He's not left your side. The setbacks you're going through, the discipline, maybe even misunderstandings. Would you hear this? God is with you. He will never leave you. Let your heart be bound to His. Let suffering train you. And suffer according to the will of God. And you will find confidence in a shaky world. There's an old hymn written by a man named Robert Robinson called, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. The third verse just struck me. I want to read it to you. Listen to this. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. That simply says, I am such a debtor to God's grace. I'm in so much debt to His grace. Thank God for His grace. And every day I'm reminded of that. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Then he says, let thy goodness like a fetter. A fetter is something that you bind like sticks up with, a rope. Let your goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Because I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Consecrate my heart. Bind it to you just for your purposes. Because I'm prone to wander. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Let's pray. Father, how many of your greatest servants were built along the long and arduous paths that included suffering and misunderstanding, struggle, poverty, prison. And we're going to be no different, are we, Lord? Because you're building us. But watching and observing the life of Joseph, we can find hope and confidence in the midst of a shaky world. And Lord, we're finding that man's mistakes, people's betrayals, hot sands in the deserts will never thwart your promises and dreams that you placed in us. There's only one that can mess those up. Me. ourselves. So, Lord, would you help us at every turning point, and some are going through those right now, to make wise decisions in Jesus' name.
You've just heard part two of a message entitled Confidence in the Turning Points by Pastor Wade Cordero. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.